Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
This is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're now 60 days away from Election Day. And of course, most voters are focused on the national race for president. But one of the top local races is for Bexar County Sheriff. Incumbent Democrat Sheriff Javier Salazar is seeking his third term, and challenging him is Republican Nathan Buchanan, and he joins us in the studio today to take your calls. We have reached out to Sheriff Salazar's campaign. We're working to have him on the air soon also to take your calls. Tune in for that. And the number right now to call for a question for Nathan Buchanan is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-SOURCE. And Nathan Buchanan, welcome to The Source. Good to have you.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about why you're running for sheriff. Can you talk about your law enforcement experience?
Law enforcement experience, I started my law enforcement career in 2008 with the Castle Hills Police Department. I left there, went over to the Bexar County Sheriff's Office. And I've also worked for Our Lady of the Lake University Police Department.
Okay. And so how did you decide that you would be running for sheriff?
Got sick and tired of seeing everything happening around us, the high crime happening, the constant deaths in the jail. We're at 92 right now since Salazar's been sheriff. This isn't the San Antonio I grew up in. So I decided, you know, I can either sit on the sideline and keep complaining and wishing, or I can get out and try to do something about it.
Okay, so what would be your plan? How would you, like, you bring up the deaths in the Bexar County Jail? We had those also during Sheriff Pomerleau and
sure.
Others sheriffs in the past. So what would you do differently to address that?
There's a lot of different things you can do to try to, I mean, are you going to stop it completely? No, you can't stop it completely. You're going to get inmates that come in or people that are arrested that come in and, you know, they swallow drugs during a traffic stop or something and they end up going into cardiac arrest or whatnot while they're in our custody, in the jail custody. So that's understandable. But one way to combat it, I believe, is we need to start working more closely with University Health System and actually get some good some doctors, or if not doctors, like nurse practitioners or physician's assistants, not just nurses in there. But I would like to get a closer relationship with University Health System. I'm getting lots of calls from deputies that work in the jail and tell me that the nurses are supposed to be making checks with the jailers, and they're not. They're supposed to be more readily available, and they're not. So something needs to be done about that. That's number one. There's a lot of different issues that we can look at, but I think we'd be here all day, you know, going down that one avenue.
Well, if you could give us like policy changes that you would make that you think would change some of these outcomes that you think voters are tuned into. But I do want to ask you about something that you said on social media, that if elected sheriff, that one of the first things you would do would be to raid the migrant resource center that is on San Pedro.
Okay.
What do you mean by that?
Do you want me to, you said you wanted a policy change. Do you want me to talk about the policy change real quick, or do you want me to talk about the migrant center?
Well, that would be a policy change.
a policy change as far as inside the jail, I would probably do checks on the inmates a lot sooner. But right now it's kind of impossible the way he has it set up in there, the way Salazar has it set up in there, because they're being overworked. They're working 16-hour shifts. They're being forced to work 16-hour shifts. So we need to get the overtime under control. That's first and foremost. The way I can do that, it's pretty simple. It's a pretty simple fix. You know, there's a lot of specialized units. We need to disband them and put those people back to work on the floors. Same with patrol. There's a lot of specialized units that are unnecessary. We can disband those and put those deputies back to work out on patrol. As far as the migrant center, it's not really a policy that it's put in place. It's just following the law. Right now, we have SB 4 that's in effect, which is it gives law enforcement, local law enforcement, the right to enforce immigration laws now in our state. That was signed in by Greg Abbott, I believe, within the last 6-8 months, somewhere around there. But that's what I would be using to enforce that. As far as the raid goes, I mean, you want specifics on how it's going to go down, or?
Well, it's interesting that you would want to do that. So many of the people who are at the Migrant Resource Center have gone through the asylum process. They're not here in the country as quote unquote illegally or without documentation. They have, as the migrants, they have a permiso to stay here. So, but these are people that you would target to have them deported, or what are you planning?
Well, I don't know who informed you, but they are here illegally. They did cross illegally. That just because they went through a processing center doesn't make it legal that they came that way. Yes, there are federal laws that are being overlooked right now by our current government, allowing them to come across the border freely. But there's also a state law that should prohibit it, which is what Greg Abbott and Ken Paxton are constantly fighting every day, trying to make sure that it stays enforced. I mean, the federal government's coming after our local government here, trying to say that they can't be putting buoys in the river. You know, I mean, that's ridiculous. Why can't we stop people from coming over illegally?
Well, some of the people are crossing the bridge in order to surrender and enter the asylum-seeking process. Mm-hmm. Some other people are crossing the river, but they're surrendering immediately and directly to the Border Patrol in order to go into the process, or they begin seeking. They're not, you know... They surrender immediately.
Yeah.
So, and you say that's illegal.
That is, because they're still crossing illegally. But what the Border Patrol, I've spoken to plenty of Border Patrol agents. They're not in agreement with that. And a lot of them are just being, a lot of them don't have IDs. A lot of them, we don't know who's coming across. And so they're coming, and they're just going right into a processing center, and they just kick them loose, and they send them over here. We have the biggest processing center here in San Antonio. But that's not fair, in my opinion.
And so if elected sheriff, you would shut all that down?
I would, yes.
All right. Just to be clear on that. That's a big policy distinction between you and Sheriff Salazar. And we saw Sheriff Salazar at the Democratic National Convention, and he had a totally different point of view.
He did, but he also, he did put into effect, he did say that his deputies can now enforce SB4 if they want to. Now, he's going to hold them over the coals for it, for doing it. He's saying if they get it wrong or anything, that they're going to be the ones held liable, and basically meaning he's going to fire them if they get it wrong, which is, in my opinion, you shouldn't be doing that. He's kind of forcing them not to enforce it, but he does have a policy in place now, I guess because I've made so much noise about it, and now he actually has paperwork and everything that they have to fill out for each person they come across.
Let's go to a caller. Our number is 833-877-8255. We're having a conversation with Nathan Buchanan. He is the Republican candidate for Bexar County Sheriff, challenging the incumbent Javier Salazar. And let's go to Edward. And Edward, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen. Mr. Buchanan, I can speak to this issue with firsthand expert knowledge, just to be clear. What could or would you do should you be elected to tackle the en masse identity fraud being perpetrated on the DoorDash platform? This is actually tangentially related to the last question you answered. The vast majority of the identity fraud are people who simply don't have the documents to pass a background check and get approved to actually drive in the United States. Yes, many are migrants, but there are also individual citizens with violent and sexual assault histories on the platform now, because
Edward, just, we don't have time for all this. So the question is about identity theft on DoorDash. So let's go to Sheriff Salazar.
How
let's go
dare
to
you?
Nathan Buchanan. Sorry about that.
This is the first I hear of this being an actual problem, but I'm going to address it as every issue that comes across my desk. I will look into it, and we will handle it accordingly. I'm not going to overlook. And you see, that's the problem. That's a night and day difference between me and Salazar, is he picks and chooses with his feelings. And that's not how I plan on enforcing. I plan on just enforcing the law. I want to blindfold myself and enforce the law fairly across the board with everyone, regardless of party, race, or anything.
All right, let's go to another caller. We have Will, and Will, you're on the air.
Thank you. So, David, I just wanted to say thank you so much to you all in the source. I constantly see these Buchanan signs that never get picked up after elections. And now after hearing this guy, I definitely am not going to vote for him. So I really appreciate the source for helping me understand how bad it, you know, he could be. Thank you.
Well, Will, thank you for the call. We're not trying to, you know, Mr. Buchanan, cast you in a negative light. I just want to distinguish you from Sheriff Salazar. You're a very different person. You have different ideas, different policies. Yeah. That's all.
In all honesty, y'all already have kind of casted me in a negative light.
Okay, tell me about that.
With the article y'all put out yesterday, because it's not true.
Which one?
Saying that I'm a secessionist or something like whatever y'all put out.
You signed a pledge to the Texas secession movement, a Texas First pledge?
Yes, that doesn't make me a member. That just says I agree with their platform.
So you would support Texas secession?
As of right now, no, I don't. Should it come to a vote and the people of Texas decide that that's what they want to do, then I'll get behind it. And the only way I agree with that ever happening is, you know, if the federal government decides to ever overstep their bounds, if they decide they want to try to, you know, start trampling on our rights and trampling on the Constitution, then sure, I can get behind something like that if the people want it. Just like, you know, whenever there's a vote for anything, we have to get behind it regardless if that's what, you know, I didn't vote for Biden. That's number one.
All right.
He's
so,
the
but
president,
the,
so I have to get behind it.
Danny Miller, head of the Texit movement, Texas Secession, there, promoting you as one of their own, that you are part of their movement.
No, I'm not. I've never spoken to Daniel Miller, and I've never had a conversation with the man.
All right. We're going to take a break here. We'll continue taking calls. If you've got questions for Nate Buchanan, he is the Republican candidate for Bexar County Sheriff. The number is 833-877-8255. The source continues right after this.
Support for TPR comes from Jingu House in the Japanese Tea Garden, featuring Asian cuisine with a San Antonio twist. Open for lunch 7 days a week. View the menu at jinguhousesatx.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio is the Republican candidate for Bexar County Sheriff, Nathan Buchanan. We have an invitation out to the Democrat in the race, who is the incumbent Sheriff Javier Salazar. If you've got a question or a comment, the number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And let's go to a caller. Let's go to Lindsay. And Lindsay, you're on the air.
My question would be, I want to know what Mr. Buchanan would do differently from Salazar in regard to gun violence in San Antonio or gun violence in in schools.
All right. Thank you for the call. And so, Nathan Buchanan.
What I would do differently is, and it might go against what some people believe, but these are my beliefs. We need to arm ourselves. I truly believe that, you know, an armed society is a more protected society. Does that mean I would never be for a gun grab, first and foremost?
What does that mean, a gun grab?
Like a buyback, or I'm not in favor of
buyback.
Well,
buyback is not a gun grab. That's people will sell.
Well, it's an incentive trying to get you to give up your firearms, and I'm not for that. I don't think that the government should be stepping in and trying to buy our firearms back from us. That's ridiculous, in my opinion. But, you know, I think if criminals start seeing that more people are armed and more people are defending themselves, more criminals are going to start thinking twice about, you know, should I rob this person, or maybe this person's armed, maybe I should just leave them alone, which to me creates peace. As far as school violence, I mean, that's kind of outside my realm a little bit, because there's school police officers, and that would be their jobs to do that, to take care of the schools. As far as the sheriff's position on that, with me being the sheriff, I would back up any school district police officers should they ever need any resources or extra manpower or anything. If there's ever a threat, you know, I can send deputies out there and make sure that, you know, there's an extra, presence of law enforcement there.
All right. Another caller. Let's go to Valerie. And Valerie, you're on the air with the Republican candidate for Bexar County Sheriff, Nathan Buchanan.
Hi, Mr. Buchanan. I wanted to kind of circle back and touch base on the policy changes that you stated that you would implement to cut down on the deaths at the jail. You stated that you would cut down on overtime so that they will be able to check on the inmates. But how exactly would you do that? Because that is definitely something that Sheriff Salazar has been working towards, and our previous sheriff, because we have a clear lack of sheriffs there. How are you going to increase the amount of sheriffs working at the jail and decrease overtime? What exactly are your policies?
Valerie, thank you for the call. So more sheriff deputies on the floor of the pods, what would you like to see happen?
I'm being told by, and these are people that are part of the administration, that on every single shift, every single day, there is within 20 to 30 deputies sitting around doing nothing. And these are part of those specialized units I was speaking about. The only time they really actually get to work is if something really needs to be done, or if they catch wind of the surprise jail inspection coming, and they put them to work so that they can look like they got their stuff together. So those people, that's not the magic bullet. That's not going to fix everything. But putting majority of them back to work, you know, some specialized units are needed. I understand that. But putting them back to work on the floors, and the same with patrol, putting them back to work on patrol should alleviate a lot of that overtime that's going on. Yes, there was overtime issues with Susan Pamerlew. Was it this bad? No. There's overtime issues with almost any agency you can think of. But you can see, I have the open records, and I've posted it on my social media account. I don't recall if I posted it on my webpage. But you can see every year the overtime pay, we're at almost $70 million right now in overtime and tax dollars since Salazar's been sheriff. When Pamerlew was sheriff for her 4 years, I think she only went over like $6 million in overtime. So there's a big drastic difference there. I mean, even if we double that, it would be $12 million that she spent in two terms if she would have stayed for a second term. But you can see the huge difference there. And to me, I don't call them specialized units. I call them favorite units because these are people that are his favorites. These are his little posses that he puts together so he can do favors for people that are donors or big supporters of his. And that's why I come out and I say people over politics. I want to put the people first before anything political. As we saw with the DNC, what he did and what he's done in El Paso over the past couple of months, he's making this political. And
well, you are running for office as a Republican. It's a political thing.
That is correct.
You're not running as an independent.
But I don't consider myself a Republican. I don't consider myself a Democrat. I consider myself an American, first and foremost. I consider myself someone who's going to go in there and do the job regardless of what you are or what you claim. If someone comes in with a T-shirt saying defund the police or F the police or whatever, I'm going to treat them just the same as I treat anybody else. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your religion is. I don't care what your politics are. I want to get in there and do the job.
And you think that's happening now? If someone shows up who has a different political point of view than Salazar, then he treats them differently?
Oh, absolutely. We've invited him to many Republican events to come and speak, not as a Democratic sheriff, to come and speak about law and safety in our community. And he doesn't show up. He won't even respond. As your sheriff, I will show up. If the Democratic Party asked me, hey, can you come to one of our events to talk about, you know, how we can lower crime or something, I'd show up. I don't want to go over there to talk politics because I don't want to make this a political office.
But if it's a Republican club asking him to show up, he may, you know, you don't see that as like he would show up for any other event, but not a political one.
He does show up for a lot of Democrat events.
Okay, let's go to Daniel on the phones. And Daniel, mm-hmm. You're on the air.
David, I have to say, you and I have known each other for many years. And what I just heard you say in your exchange with Nathan about the secessionist thing.
Right. So I'm just going to identify you. This is Daniel Miller. He is the head of the Texas Secessionist Movement, also known as Texan.
No. I'm not the head of the Texas Secessionist Movement. That's not the name. I'm the president of the Texas Nationalist Movement, of which Nathan Buchanan is not a member. I have never claimed that he is one of our members. But he did have the courage and the fortitude to sign a pledge to put Texas and Texans first. In my mind, that makes him far and above the candidate, the current sheriff of Bexar County, who, let's be honest, probably doesn't know the name of a dozen of his constituents. Nathan had the courage and the fortitude to say, you know what, I'm not going to take the word of the people of Texas as a cafeteria plan. If the people of Texas make a decision, I want to support that. But you've made some patently false statements, David.
So what did I tell you? Lay them out. Let's spell them out. If I got it wrong, I'm sorry. I mean, I got the impression from the release y'all put out that he was part of your movement.
No, absolutely not. And Nathan, and to Nathan, I apologize that you're having to go through this because we all know the truth.
Yeah. The TNM, so just tell me what is the truth.
The fact is that he signed a pledge to put Texas and Texans first. He also pledged that if the people of Texas decide that they want to vote for independence in a legally and lawfully constituted referendum, that he would support that decision. Correct. And Nathan articulated it perfectly where he said, look, if the people of Texas vote on a law, it's the job of the sheriff to enforce that law, right? They don't get to pick and choose. And that's exactly what you've got with your current sheriff.
All right. So I'm going to give you a couple more minutes, Daniel Miller, a couple more minutes. I got to move on to other callers. But so the high points are, I mischaracterized Nathan Buchanan's relationship with you, right?
Absolutely.
So he is not a member of your movement, but he signed your pledge.
That is correct.
And he's in favor of allowing a statewide vote on secession.
Right. Just like 60% of likely voters here in Texas.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it. Other than David, do better next time, please.
I'm always trying. You know, I can always do better. Daniel Miller, thank you so much for calling in. And let's go now to Richard on the phones. And let's get Richard lit up. And Richard, you're on the air.
Thank you. I was also calling about the secessionist movement. I mean, do these people realize that if we secede, Texas secedes from the Union, everything that is financed through the federal government is gone, including all the health center, the military health centers here in San Antonio. Military City will no longer be Military City because the military would move out. The interstate highway system would basically all become the responsibility of Texas, which we can't afford to do. And there are probably many other things. A national park system, what are we going to do? World Heritage might stay. But,
so you're opposed to secession. You just see it as unworkable.
Yes. All right. Crazy.
Well, Richard, thank you for the call, and maybe one day we'll have a longer conversation about the complications and appeals of that idea. But in the last couple of minutes we have left, Nathan, let's get back on track.
Okay.
You're running for Bexar County Sheriff. You're not running to secede from Texas.
Correct.
Secede from the Union. Okay.
Correct.
All right. And the main reason you're doing that is because you think that, well, you want to have stricter enforcement of immigration laws in Texas, in San Antonio, mm-hmm. Bexar County. You would raid the Migrant Resource Center. That's correct, right?
Correct.
And that you would – what else? What are some other high points that you want to do?
Well, I mean, let's just look at the numbers. Right now is the way it is. San Antonio is the second highest crime rate in the state of Texas. The Bexar County Sheriff's Office, the jail, has the number one ranking for the worst jail in the entire nation right now. Like I said, about the $70 million, almost $70 million in overtime that has been paid out so far under Salazar's watch. We've also had over 1,500 deputies resign under Salazar's watch. There's a big issue here. And, you know, we need someone to step in there and actually let the deputies do their jobs. Someone who is going to back them up when they... Sometimes, I mean, we're not going to get it right every single time. And, you know, we make little mistakes as officers. That's a given, just as humans, we do. And a lot of those can be forgiven. We don't have to, you know, drag them over the coals and put them in front of the media and everything Luis Salazar does and try to wreck their lives even more than what's already happening. They need someone that's going to be behind them and let them do their jobs.
Nathan Buchanan, thank you so much for coming in the studio today and talking to us and helping us understand a little bit more, better, your positions on these items. And you are the Republican candidate for Bexar County Sheriff. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.